We're about to fast in 2 days, and it's a fast about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which primarily, at least, it is not in the summer like Shavas V'Tamas and Tisha B'Av. This is, you know, standalone in the winter about the Churban. Now, what exactly happened on this day? So, if you match it up to the other fasts that have to do with the Churban, namely Shavas V'Tamas, Tisha B'Av, and Sam Gedalia, it doesn't really seem to fit the bill. Let's take a look. So, Shavas V'Tamas, they actually breached the wall. That was when Nebuchadnezzar and his army crashed through the wall of Yerushalayim. They undoubtedly murdered hundreds of people that day, if not more, as they broke through the wall and started their siege to get through, not their siege, I'm sorry, they started their actual march to get towards the Beis HaMikdash. And 3 weeks later, we have Tisha B'Av, which is when they actually burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, right, the 9th and 10th day of Av, which is obviously the saddest day in our calendar. And even the Tzayim Gedalia, which is the commemorates the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam. So that was like the last vestige of hope. If you look at the Mefarshim, that was the last vestige of hope that the Jewish nation had in exile. He was the one unifier who was able to be both a political leader and a spiritual leader. He would have held the Jews at peace with the nation surrounding them. Those are the other three fasts, which seem to commemorate pretty significant events. Now, if you look at Asar B'Teves, what happened? So we have the story twice in Tanakh. It comes up in Malachim Beis, Perek Chaf Hei, and in Yecheskel, Perek Chaf Dalet. All that happened was the armies reached the wall. They had been marching from Bavel to come lay siege on Yerushalayim. They reached the wall. They actually laid siege on the wall, which means they surrounded it. They cut off food supply, and they built a tower. Now, that tower was to basically give them a better vantage point into attacking the city and to make sure from the position of height that a tower would give them that nobody would enter the city, leave the city, that they would be able to cut off the water supply, and they were able effectively to sort of choke the city. That's what the point of a siege is, and that's what they did. But then, nothing happened. They surrounded the walls, and then they waited and waited and waited until 2.5 years later. When they finally, Shavas V'Tamas, they broke through the walls. So it doesn't really seem to fit the bill. Not much happened, right? I mean, we fast, obviously it's a sad day, but it doesn't seem to fit, to stand up with the other fast days that we have. Those other fast days commemorate much larger and more severe events. And what's worse is, in Halacha, this fast is potentially much more chumer than the other fasts as well. We know that if a fast falls out on Shabbos, it gets pushed off, right? The only example, the only exception to this rule is Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur, we fast on Shabbos, and the Avodraham, and I've seen it run down B'Shem the Ga'inim, that if Asar B'Teves theoretically would fall out on Shabbos, we would still fast. It happens to be our calendar nowadays is set up that it will never fall out on a Shabbos, but theoretically, before they set the calendar and the times when Beis Din would be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and there was no predetermined timeline of months, if it would fall out on Shabbos, they would fast. So why is that? The only other fast that we fast on Shabbos is Yom Kippur. So why is it so chumer when it seems to commemorate something really not significant, not huge and detrimental and terrible? So I think the answer lies in one of the recordings in Tanakh of what happened on Asar B'Teves. So you have two, right? Malachim Beis Perek Chav Hei is really, if you read it, just a recounting. It's just like a storytelling. There's no emotion there. It's just in the 10th month, which is Teves, on the 10th day, they reached the city, they surrounded it, they built a tower. Then, that was in the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. In the 12th year, 2.5 years later, they breached the wall. Then, 3 weeks later, they got to the Beis HaMikdash. And that is the Melachim Beis. It's very cut and dry. There's no emotion there. But if you look in Yecheskel Perek Chaf Dalet, which is where Hashem is telling Yecheskel, who's in Bavel at the time, he's telling him what's going on in Yerushalayim. And over there, it's much more emotional. A much more of an emotional story of what's going on. It says over there that Hashem came to Yecheskel and it says, Ben Adam, Kesoiv Lecha as Shem Hayom. Write down the name of this day, as Etzem Hayom Hazeh, this very day. Samach Melech Bavel Yerushalayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. That the king of Bavel, he leaned on, he choked the city of Yerushalayim on this very day, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. So it's said twice, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And the story that it goes through is not much more, but it's a parallel of meat cooking in a pot. it's a little bit of a tricky thing to explain. I don't really understand exactly all the mafarshim over there, but it's a much more emotional story of Hashem telling Yechezkel what's going on in Yerushalayim while he is in Bavel. And the phrase that pops up twice over there in that pasuk is Etzem Hayem Hazeh, which is not at all a common phrase in Tanakh. You have it only a few times. The first time you have it is when Noach goes into the Teva. Etzem Hayem Hazeh ban Noach v'shem Echam v'yafes b'nei Noach v'eishes Noach v'shleishes n'shebanav itam el ha-teva. Right? On that very day, Noach and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, they came into the Teva. Then you have it again when Avram does Bris Milah. It says, Be'etzem hayem hazeh nimal Avram v'yishmal b'nai. When the Jews leave Mitzrayim, you have it. V'hi be'etzem hayem hazeh ha'itzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim al tzibay sam. And then finally, after the story, the narrative part of the Torah is over, and the laws part of the Torah, you have it on Yom Kippur, Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh. So if you match up those few instances where you have the phrase Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh against Asar B'Teves, where you have it twice, it doesn't seem to fit. The same way it didn't fit with the fast, it doesn't seem to fit with these instances where you have Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh quoted. For the same reason, because if you think about those were all monumentous events, right? By Noach, mankind was about to be completely obliterated from the face of the planet, and really creation was about to start over again. By Avram and Bris Milah, that was the first time that a physical person was going to mutilate himself, but not mutilate, he was the first person to supersede his physical existence, right? The Medrash says that if Hashem wanted us to be born with a bris milah, just have us created without an arla. The answer is Hashem wanted to create us imperfect, and we were supposed to perfect ourselves to supersede, to surpass our physical limitations. That was really what that was happening, and that's pretty huge to have a physical being. This is the first time a physical being was living on a spiritual plane. It's pretty big. Leaving Mitzrayim, huge, obviously, right? That's literally the birth of our nation. And Yom Kippur is the time when we are forgiven, right? We meet Hashem on Yom Kippur, and we're forgiven for all our sins. Really, without Yom Kippur, we would also cease to exist. It's a pretty big day. Without Yom Kippur, we would cease to exist. Our avarice would weigh us down, and eventually we'd all get punished for them. Without that, you know, wiping clean of the slate, we would not make it year to year. So then you have Asar B'Teves again. It's Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh, this very day the king is laying siege on Yerushalayim. Why all the drama if not that much happened? They surrounded the wall. I'm not trying to make light of it. It was a bad thing, but why all the drama? So I think the answer is what basically the Etzem Hayem Hazeh. What is Etzem Hayem Hazeh, right? Because you could say Bayayim Hazeh on this day, but Etzem Hayem Hazeh, people translate on this very day. I've seen it translated on this self same day. It's meant as like a focus. It's a focus word. Focus on this day, right? And the word Etzem, it means bones. It comes from the word Eitz, which means wood. It's a very it's a word that connotes foundation, something fundamental, right? That's the point of the word. Etzem Hayem Hazeh means that this day was a fundamental day. Focus on the fact this is focus on this very day, right? It's there's a lot happening in this day, even if you can't see it, right? Because a skeleton is the foundation of the body. You can't see it, but it's the foundation of the body, right? Etzem Hayem Hazeh, I think, is the same thing. So, and I think that the answer is that whenever the Torah says Etzem Hayem Hazeh, it means to tell you that this day is foundational and it's full of potential, right? Because something that's a foundation is really holds the potential of the building. When you put down a foundation, the building's not there yet at all, but in that's the beginning. It's the beginning. The first steps of the building being created, meaning the building exists in potentiality there, and there's a very, very small amount of actuality of the building, right? It's beginning to get actualized. It's mostly potential at that point. And I think that if you look at all the instances where you have Etzem Hayem Hazeh quoted in the Torah, it's the same thing, right? When Noach comes in to the Teva, so the world is being destroyed, but he is now the entire world as we know it. That was all existed in potential inside of Noach and his sons as they go into the Teva. Same thing with Avram, right? Our nation was that was the first thing. Our nation represents spirituality in this physical world. That was the first second that that happened, that the spiritual entered into the physical in such a way, that was all there in potential. Any single time that we beat our Yetzer Hara or do anything positive in the world, that was all there in potential in that bris milah that Avraham did, right? Because that was the first time somebody superseded, somebody surpassed his Yetzer Hara. Same thing with us leaving Mitzrayim. Again, it was all there in potential. All the Jewish generations, thousands of years, all the joy, all the suffering, all the pain, all the triumphs, all the accomplishments, all of that was there in potential when we left Mitzrayim. And Yom Kippur is the same thing. Yom Kippur, I think, really holds the rest of our year in potential, because that is the only reason we're able to make it through the rest of the year. Now, I think that Asar B'Tavis is the same thing. It's a day of potential. Did anything huge happen on that day? No. They surround the wall, and they built a tower. And that was it. The end of it. But that was the first moment that Bavel really had a handle, Samach al Yerushalayim, right? That was the first time that they were able to lean down and put a force on top of Yerushalayim that they never had otherwise. And I think in potential, that day is totally different than every other fast day. Because all the other fast days, things happen in actuality. Here, nothing really happened in actuality, but it was so much worse because you had the potential of so much bad about to happen, all wrapped up into that Asar B'Tavis. And to somebody passing by, didn't look like such a big deal. But to somebody who could see potential, it was a huge deal. And I think that it's no coincidence that the way they tell us about the stringency of Asar B'Tavis is that we'd have to fast on Shabbos, because Shabbos is the day of potential. The Maharal says that each week is included in the Shabbos that precedes it, right? The way he explains it is that Hashem himself created six days. Then he created Shabbos, and within that Shabbos, he put the power of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. In each Shabbos holds the power of the coming 7 days, right? So since the second Shabbos and on, that Shabbos has been propelling the week into existence along with the following Shabbos, and that Shabbos has been propelling the next week into existence. So that's how Shabbos is the day of potential. We say Kihi Makar HaBracha, right? It is the center, the Makar, the foundation, right? The focal point of Bracha and of everything, of our entire week. And I think that's the point of Asar B'Tavis, that it's a day Shabbos-like almost. And if it were to, butt heads with Shabbos, it would have to win, because it's the day of potential, just like Shabbos is the day of potential. And we would have to commemorate Asar B'Tavis even on that day of Shabbos, because the whole point of Asar B'Tavis is potential. And while, we're fasting and saying Slichos and having an overall sad day thinking about the Beis HaMikdash and thinking about how we could better ourselves, I would like to put out some positive note on potential, because this ability to see potential, right, to see something that is not monumentous on the surface, it's not like huge and glorious on the surface, but something that is all wrapped up in potential, to be able to see that is, I think, a strictly a Jewish quality. And the brachas that we make in the morning, so the first bracha that we say is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Nasan Lasech Vivino Lahavchin Bein Yom Vein Laila, right? That you gave a rooster the understanding to differentiate between day and night. So, I don't live on a farm, but I've heard roosters crow once or twice, and they crow when it is pitch black outside. It is not at all light. To the naked eye, to anybody looking outside, the day is nowhere near starting. You've got a good hour plus before it actually gets light, before you can start your day. But what the rooster is doing, the rooster is using bina, which is understanding, which is really to get to the root of something, to differentiate between day and night. When does day start? It starts when that rooster crows. To the naked eye, it looks like pitch black midnight. But in potential, your day's starting, right? Your day is completely there in potential. It's all the way there. And your day will actualize over the next 24 hours. But that is your day. Your day starts then. So that ability, like the rooster that we say, that you gave the rooster that ability, Hashem, to see potential, we want to see potential also. And we look at Shabbos and we see the week. And we look at Rosh Hashanah and we see the whole year. And we have the ability to see potential and see the power of that potential and the power to change something when it's in its infancy stages of potential. Meaning, if we start the day on the right foot at the first moment, the whole rest of the day will flow in a positive way, right? Because when you start things on the right foot, when potential unravels and you latch on and do good things, then the actualization that happens is also positive and good. And I think that that's possibly a positive note that this Hasar Batavius we could focus on. It's a day of potential. It's a day of, you know, a sad potential that unraveled, a sad actuality that unraveled from the potential. But if it's a day of potential, that means that it's a day for us to overcome whatever issues have been plaguing us on a level of potential, meaning it's much easier to say to change something while it's still potential, and hopefully we'll be able to affect changes in our life and things will actualize over the coming year from Tuesday, from Asara Bateves, that we'll be able to actualize the year differently, and hopefully we'll be able to be in Yerushalayim within the coming days. Have a easy and meaningful fast.